You guys enjoying Advent? The season of anticipating the coming of someone. Of course, 2,000 and some odd years ago, it's probably a little different anticipation. And for the 700 years prior to that, since the prophecies were given, they were anticipating this Messiah, the Savior, that would come. And they were awaiting. I can't imagine being on that side of Jesus' birth, having the prophecies and anticipating and waiting and not knowing. And now we get to live on this side of Christ's birth, and we get to anticipate his return, but we know he's come and the work has been done. We get to live in that. That's pretty exciting and amazing. But today's title, Jesus came for us. The advent of love. Jesus came for us. I hope you daily, weekly, monthly, anticipate Jesus coming for you, meaning Jesus showing up for you in your hardship, in your pain, in your suffering, in your good times, in your celebrations, in your love and enjoyment of life. I hope you anticipate and expect Jesus showing up, because Jesus came for you. Jesus came for you. As you go about your week this week, just be thinking, processing the moments and pieces of your life each and every day where Jesus is showing up for you in your life, and just give thanks to him. And take time to sit and acknowledge that, sit and know that, and reflect upon it. Don't just go through life and, oh, it's wonderful, it's amazing. Because Jesus isn't only with us in the good times, he's also with us in the bad. And we're going to look at some scriptures that back that up. As we were on our way to church this morning, my wife got a call last night. Hey, I can't be there for worship. Could you lead it for me? So she's kind of scrambling last night, putting together a worship set, and what are we going to sing tomorrow? And we're on our way here this morning, and she goes, I'm looking at my song list, and there's a lot of songs about the way, the way, the way, the way. It's like, I don't know, I might change it. I'm like, no, don't. I think it's okay, because like my key verse is, Jesus, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I think God might be trying to tell us something today. So let's just roll with it. And because I know the online people are looking at my shirt going, what does it say? I'm going to read it for them real quick so they like don't get distracted for the whole sermon. It says, Pastor, powered or fueled by humor and the Holy Spirit. So now the online people, they can sit back, relax, and enjoy the message. I often get comments of that. What does your shirt say? Now they know. So John 14, verse 6. John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus answered. Of course, he's speaking to Thomas. Jesus has just talked to them about, hey, I'm going to have to go away in a while. You're not going to see me anymore. And Thomas is like, but how do we know to get where you're going? How do we know the way? Jesus responds to him in verse 6. Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He didn't say, I am the way or the truth or the life. He said, I am the way and the truth and the life. So today we're going to look at the way, the truth, and the life. And what does that mean for us as believers in Christ Jesus? Jesus came for us, and he is coming again. It's past, it's present, and it's future. We're living in the dispensation of the Holy Spirit currently. It's kind of a fun time, right? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Looking at Jesus as the way. The way can be challenging. The way can be difficult. For some of you, getting out of bed this morning, opening the curtains or the front door and going, ugh, snow. I'm going back to bed. Well, you guys aren't here today. You're still at home watching. For some of you, the way is, oh, it's snowy, but I think we can make it. Let's go. And you maybe did a little of this and a little of this on the way to church this morning. It was exciting. And you thought you might see Jesus face to face today. And for some of you, you're like, I was born here. This is no problem. But the way can look very different for each of us in a sense of our relationship with Jesus Christ and how we know and experience life with him and how much we allow him to transform our hearts and our minds. But Jesus, the way, is always the same. He is the only way to the Father. So my ideas, my perceptions, my thoughts about Jesus often change because my relationship grows and develops, hopefully, over time with him. So I might think, if I'm naive enough, that Jesus changed. But really what changed is Arby's perception of who Jesus is and how much he loves me, how much he cares for me, how much he came for me. So grow and develop in your relationship in Christ. And your ideas, your thoughts, your mind and heart should change because the word says he came to transform us. So we should be ever changing, growing, and knowing the Lord differently each and every day. But he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is unchanging. The way, sheep follow the shepherd. Jesus is a shepherd, or he's supposed to be. You're supposed to be a sheep. You know why sheep need a shepherd? Because without a shepherd, they run around looking for a place to die. Sheep are pretty sad animals, really. I'm like, Jesus, why couldn't we be like lions or tigers or bears? Oh my. Because Jesus is like, you guys are helpless without me. You need help. Like, Arby, you will make a mess of your life if you don't follow me. If you follow your own instincts, your own ideas, your own emotions, you're going to make a mess of your life. And it's going to lead to death. They, of course, looked at all of humanity and said, they need a shepherd. I'll go. So Jesus, the way, the shepherd, is leading us, is giving us guidance and instruction. I've spent 25 years as a professional backcountry hunting guide. And usually I get guests and they're like, I paid you money to take me out. Like, take me out. You know what you're doing? I'll follow you. But occasionally, you get the hunter that likes to guide the guide. I don't think that's a good idea. Let's go do this. And I try to, no, let's not. No, let's not. And finally, I'm like, okay, let's go do it. Then we get over there and get doing it. And like, why are we here? This is ugly. It's messy. It's hard. I'm like, yeah, I told you we don't want to go here. Sometimes they eventually listen. Sometimes they don't. But we shouldn't guide the guide. Jesus, this is what I think we should do. He does say to make our requests and our petitions known to him, to pray and talk to him, engage in conversation with him. He invites us to that. But he does also say, my ways are higher than your ways. Like Jesus prayed, you know, submit your will. This is what I desire, Lord. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Like, this is what I would really like to happen, God, but if it's not a plan for me and it's not like in my future with you, let's just cancel everything I just said. And be content with praying that prayer. Because God hears us and he responds on our behalf. Why? Because God is for us. He doesn't always deliver like we want him to. It's not always wrapped in the package and the bow and it comes from Amazon and it's, you know, overnight and it's free. Sometimes we have to cross the deserts and wildernesses to get it. Then we have to bring it back home, and it's a journey and a process to get what we've asked. It's a process. But if we're following the way, the shepherd, Jesus, it's a whole lot easier. John chapter 10, verses 7 through 9. Of course, Jesus in this passage is talking about the good shepherd and his sheep. He's just got done talking about, I am the only gate to the pen. Like anyone that comes in from anywhere other than the gate is a thief and a robber. It's picking up at verse 7. Jesus says, therefore, and that's why we had to talk about what happened before. Therefore, Jesus said again, very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. Whoever comes through the proper way, the proper channel, Jesus, will be saved or safe. And they can go in and out and find safety. We can live our lives in the safety knowing Jesus is our shepherd, our gatekeeper. Who's the gatekeeper of your life when you make relational decisions, when you make financial decisions, when you make emotional decisions? Jesus says, I'm the gate if you'll use me. I'll help you govern your life if you use me as your shepherd, as your guide, as your counselor. I'm here and available. Are you using Jesus as the gatekeeper of your life, of your thoughts, of what you allow your heart to ponder on? The Word of God tells us, think on these things. Whatsoever is pure and just and lovely and admirable and trustworthy. That's not quite the whole list, but it's close. Think on these things. Jesus Christ says, I came for you to be your gatekeeper. Are you accessing Jesus as your gatekeeper of your thoughts, over your heart, over your life, over your decisions, over your family? He came for us. Jesus, the truth. John 3, 16 and 17. It's a pretty popular verse. Lots of people know this one by heart. But Jesus is also the truth. What truth governs your life? For God so loved the world, John 3, 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Does that sound like a God that is for you? A God that came for you? There's a world that is lost and dying and hopeless and full of sin. I love it so much, I'm going to send my Son that they may have salvation. Not to condemn the world, but to save the world. This sounds like somebody who is very much for me. Very much for you. I believe the word in there that was used is all the world. For God so loved the world. I think that's inclusive. All of humanity. God is for humanity. Some of us know this. Do we share it? Do you share the love of Jesus with those around you? Do you let people in your life know that Jesus is for them, God is for them? It's great that we know it and use it and take advantage of it. But we are commissioned or called to share it with the world around us. Do you share the love of Jesus with those around you? Do you let people know that God is for them? That's what we're called to do as believers in Christ Jesus. Not keep it to ourselves, but let it out. Let the world know. There's a dying and hurting and lost world still today that needs Jesus. They need to know that God is for them. Revelations 22, verse 12 through 16. It's like the last chapter of the Bible, if you're digging it up there. Revelations 22, 12 through 16. Look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they have done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. There's a lot in that passage. But number one, Jesus says, I'm coming back for you. Do you know Jesus came for us and he's coming again? Jesus is coming for you and I, all of us. And then he's going to separate us, as it talks about. You get in or you are on the outside. And he kind of gave us a list of who gets in and who doesn't. So Jesus came for us. Jesus is for us. He's going to return. And he has rewards for those who live rightly before him. He says, you're going to get what is due you. Each person according to what they have done. What's God going to have in store for you? Definitely don't want to be one of the dogs on the outside. But also God says, I have good gifts for you. I have treasures in store for you. I have no idea what they are. But I know this life's pretty great, and we get to enjoy some pretty amazing things here. And he says, heaven's better. God is for us. And then he follows up with telling us, I am the first, the last, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning, the end. I am. He tells us who he is, and he is for us. Like, it's one thing if I tell you I'm for you, but like the creator of heaven and earth and all the universe, that's a whole nother league than Arby saying, hey, David, I'm for you. I got you. I got your back. I can pack out a deer for you, and that's about it. He goes on to tell us there is blessing. He wants to bless those who have washed their robes. Those robes are righteousness. Who have lived rightly before him. He has blessings in store for you when you live according to his word and walk rightly before him. He also, he came for us. He loves us so much. He warns us there is judgment coming. For those dogs, those who live wickedly and sinfully and would not repent, would not turn to me? Yeah, they have something coming also. Wouldn't it be horrible? Like, I wouldn't think God was for us if he didn't warn us about hell. If he didn't warn us about the dangers of sin and staying in it. That would be pretty awful. I would say, yeah, God's not for us. But he is so for us. He says, hey, these are the guardrails. This is the road, the way to get to me. I'm giving you a map. Don't get off the road. Because off the road are great dangers and pitfalls along the way. It can be pretty destructive in this life, and if you carry on into eternity with it, it leads to eternal hell and damnation. This, to me, speaks of a God who is for me and says, hey, Arby, I want to keep you safe and enjoying all that I have in store for you, not just in this life, but also for eternity. And here's some dangers if you don't. Which way are you going to choose? Anybody happy they put up the new guardrails between here and Orfino? Anyone? Okay, three people. That's good. The rest of you grew up here and like, guardrails, what? They're just to keep us safe. It's not because the government hates us. They're trying to keep us from driving in the river. They're taking away all of our fun. I was going to do like a triple roll, hit the river, skip a couple rapids, and bank back onto the highway. Government's just controlling us and telling us how to drive down the highway now. Put up those guardrails. Sometimes that's how we look at God and his manual for life. It's like, well, I want to color outside the lines for a little bit and do my own thing. God's like, I gave you guardrails to take care of you. And when we walk outside of those guardrails, we're outside of his blessing and his will. And like, yeah, bad things are going to happen. The wheels are going to come off the bus. And you're going to have to eat the seed you sowed. And it might take a while to rebound and get back to where you need to be. But God warns us in his word. Why? Because he is for us. God is for you. He wants all good things for you. Had this friend some years back, I don't know, 10, 12 years ago. He was telling me where he was elk hunting that fall, and he worked either the Forest Service or Department of Lands, I forget. So he was always out cruising timber and doing all this stuff, so he knew where animals were. He's like, yeah, I found this pocket of elk, and nobody's going in there. I think I'm going to go in this weekend and see if I can get one. And it was on a road you could take ATVs, but no trucks. And he was hiking in like 4 miles. And I'm like, yeah, well, if you end up getting one, like, come get my four-wheeler to haul it out so you don't have to backpack it. Right? Seems reasonable. So he goes in that weekend, gets an elk, doesn't call me, spends like 4 days hauling this thing out. Backpack loads out of this hole. It was like 4.5 miles in. And then I see him a few days after that, and he's like, I'm like, whoa, what happened to you, man? You look like you got beat up. He's like, oh, I've been packing elk all week, and I'm kind of sore. I'm like, well, where'd you get it? And he tells me, I'm like, I told you to come get my four-wheeler. He's like, I didn't, it's not mine. I didn't really want to use it and bug you. And like, I don't mind packing stuff and working hard, but if there's an easier way, I like to do it. I don't mind easy. I'll work hard, but I don't mind easy. I can get more done in less time. But sometimes it's like that with Jesus. He says, hey, Arby, I'm offering all this to you because I'm for you. But I'm like, yeah, that sounds great, Jesus, but I've kind of got my own thing I'm doing, and I think my plan will work. I mean, it's a pretty good one. It's solid. And you can still get your elk back to the freezer on your own. But it's a whole lot easier when you do it with Jesus. Because he says, hop on. Put your burden on my four-wheeler. Let me take you for a ride. And you still get the same elk back to the same freezer. You following me this morning? Do life with Jesus. It's like having a buddy with an ATV. You get the same result, and it's a lot funner and more enjoyable. You can ask those who've ridden ATV with me. Should we have a 5-point harness for this? I'm mostly tame. Do life with Jesus. It's a lot better, and he is for you. Jesus, the life, the way, the truth, and now the life. Jesus is the life. Romans chapter 6, Romans 6:23. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The wages of sin, what do I deserve? The wages of sin is death. What we deserve is death. Thank God he is for us. Because the free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ is what God has for us. Not what we deserve, but what is for us. Jesus Christ is the life. The gift of eternal life is Jesus Christ. I hope you know that today. John 10:10, one of my favorite passages, one of my life verses, I would say. John 10:10, again, Jesus warns us. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Jesus warns us there is a thief. His name is Satan, the devil, Lucifer, whatever you call him. There is a thief, and he is after you. He seeks to kill, steal, and destroy you. Your reputation, your image, your witness before God, your witness before man about God, your thoughts, your heart, your mind, your emotions, your desire to live. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy your ministry. You name it. Whatever God's given you, he's come to steal, kill, and destroy and take from you. But it doesn't stop there. Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I love that. And some other versions say abundantly or in abundance or overflowing with good measure. Christ has come that we may have life to the full. I hope you're living that full life that Christ paid for. Christ has come for us to live life to the full. Get all the goody out of life you can. Experience the joy of the Lord in every moment of life that you can. And some moments aren't that joyous. Some moments are painful. We just had a celebration of life yesterday here at the church. It was beautiful and sad all at the same time. It was for one of our members. But you know what? We know we're going to reunite with him. We know he's in eternity today because Christ came that he may have life to the fullest. And he didn't serve God in his early years. He waited until late in life to do that. Thank God for his grace and his mercy that waits on us, that is patient for us. And he gives us that opportunity, that chance. And to stand here yesterday and say, he's with Jesus today. I love doing that at a funeral or memorial or celebration of life. I don't like it when I have to say, I'm not real sure. I don't know. God does. I prefer to know myself because I know it's what Christ paid for if we'll choose it. John 16:7. This whole passage is titled, The Work of the Holy Spirit. So we've talked about Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. So John 16:7, but very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. So Jesus came for us, and then he ascended back into heaven. And when he did, he sent the Holy Spirit back. He said, I've got to go because I'm physical. I can only be in a physical place, one place at a time. But if I go, the advocate can come. And the Holy Spirit can be everywhere all at once. And he's going to be much more valuable to you in this new era of church, this new era of Christianity. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. I love the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's awesome. He gives me wisdom I don't have. He gives me understanding I don't have. He gives me solutions to problems. I have problems, but I don't have solutions. And if you'll sit and wait and learn to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, it is one of the most powerful and effective things you can do with your life. And I've never audibly heard the voice of the Holy Spirit. So not out loud, but in my spirit. When I learn to connect with the Holy Spirit and begin to understand, this is the Spirit leading me, this is not. This is Arby, this is bad pizza, this is Holy Spirit. I mean, it takes time. You have to train in it. You have to develop in it. You have to grow in it. And at first, you really have to put your faith and trust out there and your maybe pride and humility out there and like, I'm just going to go for it because I think it is. And you talk to someone, and they're like, what? That doesn't make any sense. Or you talk to someone, and they're like, oh my goodness, how did you know that? Like, I often get in trouble after church for telling people their business during church. And I'm like, I had no idea that was going on. Like, you need to take that up with the Holy Spirit. Because, like, I didn't read your diary. Your wife hasn't been talking to me. Your husband hasn't been talking to me. Like, you need to talk to the Holy Spirit about that. I had one time, there was this couple, and this gal drags her husband up here after church, and we met right there. And she's like, tell him I didn't. And I'm, like, bewildered, like, what's going on? Like, and she's, like, serious, like, burr, 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 you need to tell him I didn't talk to you and I didn't tell you to say those things. And I'm like, what are we talking about? And she's like, well, in your message, he thinks I've been talking to you and you were talking directly to him about this. And I'm like, she hasn't talked to me. I'm not sure what's going on, but if we need to talk, we can. But that's the beautiful thing about the Holy Spirit. It's like, I don't have to know because he knows. And I can say something that I feel him leading me to say, and I don't know why. It's like sometimes it's weird and doesn't make sense. And then after church, somebody will come up to me and goes, oh, Pastor, that thing you said, that was so for me today. And I'm like, really? That wasn't even in my notes or my planning. That was just like something I felt God drop in the service. And they're like, well, it was very impactful for me today, or life-changing even, or... And that's the beautiful thing about the Holy Spirit, is you don't have to know. But learn and grow and develop in the Holy Spirit. Why? Because he is for you. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He will not impose himself on you. He will not push himself on you. He will not make you do weird, embarrassing things. I do those on my own. Most of that's not Spirit-led. That's just me being me. But God is for you. Jesus is for you. The Holy Spirit is for you. Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, 34 through 39. Romans 8, verse 34. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Yeah, Jesus ascended back to heaven, but now he sits at the right hand of the Father interceding on our behalf. He's still for us. He didn't leave us. He didn't abandon us. He's still fighting for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Does that not sound like a God who is for you? I mean, we're going to experience some stuff in life because life is life in this world. I mean, it's a fallen world. Sin entered the world and so did all kinds of bad stuff. And we're going to experience it. But whatever we experience, it doesn't take us away or out of the love of God. It doesn't remove us so far that he is not for us. He is still for us and on our behalf. God is fighting for you. On another fun family hunting experience, there were a bunch of us up on the mountain hunting, and I went this way, and my dad and a couple brothers went that way, and an aunt and uncle went that way, and we're all doing an evening hunt, and everybody's supposed to meet back at camp late in the evening after dark. And at that point, I had a tree stand set up on a wallow, so I was sitting in my tree stand, and I could hear should be able to hear everybody that is shooting if they shoot. And pretty soon down where my aunt and uncle went, I hear, it's like, all right, pack an elk out, woo. Then I heard, all right, must have wounded him the first shot. And then I hear, three shots. Huh. Hopefully they got him. Three's usually not good. It's usually like, you missed or you winged him and you're trying to knock him down. And about 5 minutes later, I hear, I'm like, two volleys of three, 5 minutes apart. Really not a good sign. So I thought, you know, there's still an hour and a half before dark. I'll stay in my tree stand, and another 5 minutes go by and I hear, which if you're not familiar with the woods, that's a sign for help. Volleys of three on set increments. It means come help me. I'm like, okay, this isn't good. Three volleys of three is not shooting at animals. So I like go find my brothers and dad and a couple of the cousins that were still in camp. And I'm like, pretty sure aunt and uncle are in trouble. Let's head this way. And we head out that way. And as soon as we top over the ridge, wasn't very long, and I hear, I'm like, yep, another volley of three. They're in trouble. Something's not right. And it's a really kind of a tricky ridge we were on. If you drop off this way, you go to the river. If you drop off this way, you go back to camp on the creek side. And they had dropped off the wrong side to get back to camp. And eventually got low enough down the mountain they could hear semis on the highway and knew they were on the wrong side, but they also knew how far they had dropped and didn't think they could get back to the ridge. And it's about dark when we get to them and find them. And of course then we take of course their packs and guns and took them some food and water. We didn't know what they had, and we're able to get them back out of the woods over a long haul in the dark. But some people in your life are shooting their rounds. I need help. Are we hearing them? Are we listening for their cries for help? We have a lost, a dying, a hurting world all around us. Each and every day you engage with people that are lost, dying, and hurting. If we're in tune with the Holy Spirit, you'll say, Arby, stop, pause, take time out of your program and your agenda and go talk to this man or this woman or this family or this business owner or this. And if I'm listening, if I'm in tune, I will hear their cries for help. Because he who is in me is for them. And he wants to meet their needs. And sometimes you and I are the only Jesus people will ever meet. We are his hands and his feet extended to the world around us to meet them with love and compassion and grace and humility and gentleness and kindness and goodness and mercy. As we go into Advent this week, think about Christ's love for you, that he is for you. And am I transferring that love to those around me, saying, yes, I'm for you? Do people hear that from you? Not just in words. I'm talking about actions. Do you show up for them when it's inconvenient for you? Do you show up for them when it wrecks your schedule? I hope you do. If you don't, today's a good day to start. God will always let us get started today. He's always waiting for us. He says, Arby, I'm for you. Are you for those around you? Are you carrying my love and compassion to the people around you? Be listening for those warning shots. Help me shots. Signal shots. People are sending them out daily. Father, who would you have me talk to today? Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord God. God, that you invite us, God, to be a part of your plan, God, to be a part of your bringing your kingdom of heaven to earth, Lord God. We thank you. God, we are privileged and honored, God, to be a part of your plan. God, I ask that you would tune our ears to your command, God, that you would tune our hearts to the heart of Christ, God, that you would tune our minds to the mind of Christ. God, that we would see those around us with your eyes, that we would feel those around us with your love and compassion, God, that we would hear them, God, with your ears, God, that we could meet their needs, God, according to your riches and glory through Christ Jesus that are within us. God, we just, God, ask you to open our eyes. God, that we would be made better as men and women of God to better the world around us for your glory, for your name's sake. Father, we thank you. God, in Jesus' name, amen.